leader al-Baghdadi taken out. Trump not quite getting the credit he desires. That going to US Special Forces and one classified canine. Official secrets around the name have got us asking the question, who's a good boy? Ed Blakely is joining us from South Korea this week, keeping one eye on the DMZ and one eye on US news and politics. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. If you enjoy what you hear on US of Ed, help us out and drop us a review on your favourite podcast outlet or share us with a friend or on social media. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the Islamic State leader killed by US Special Forces. Thumbs up, great job. I don't think anyone will miss him, and I suspect a blow to the already weakened ISIS. But my goodness, Trump really, really wanted this to be his Osama bin Laden takedown moment. I mean, I remember that moment. It was a big moment. I'm not quite sure Trump has measured up. Thoughts, Ed?
Oh, well, I think he let the military do their job for a change. Now he's trying to take credit for it. That is not a change. But thumbs up. And he needs this in this moment of weakness. He thinks this will get the military on his side, but I think they're really sinking away at this point.
Of course, Trump really could use the distraction right now. In all honesty, I don't think Trump and his administration would have handled anything differently at any other time. But with the impeachment proceedings going on, really needed that distraction.
Yeah, well, the impeachment is on now. It's pretty clear the articles of impeachment will be ready by next week. The vote today will be to say, go ahead. But I haven't heard any evidence that it confirms anything that Trump has said about that call. And when you have military officers, colonels, and the like saying this is what it really was about, and it was a shakedown, so much of an egregious shakedown that they reported to their superiors. So we really don't need anything like a whistleblower. The whistleblower is the Trump administration.
Now, get on to the colonel in just a moment, but John Bolton, I understand, Dems looking for Bolton to testify.
Bolton has an axe to grind. He's not going to be easy to displace, and he does have credibility. No one's ever called Bolton a liar. You may not like his policies, you may not like his direction, but he's certainly not a liar, and he needs a place in the sun. He got kicked out, so he's going to kick back.
As you mentioned, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, a decorated officer and Ukraine expert with first-hand experience of the now infamous call, says omissions were made from the transcript that referred to Joe Biden and Burisma Holdings, the company Hunter Biden worked for in Ukraine. He's now been called a Ukrainian spy by Trump allies. Now, the first part of that that's really baffled me. When did Ukraine actually become the bad guys in this scenario? I mean, they've been dragged into it, obviously, but it's the first I've seen to suggest Ukraine might have been trying to undermine Trump deliberately.
Hey, anything goes in this war. When you besmirch a person who's risen to the rank of colonel, who's an immigrant, that's the low of the low. And you don't have to go that low. Please come up with a strategy for defense. These are just diversionary tactics. His people will believe anything. Next we'll have, his father was born in Germany. So pretty soon, his children will be virgin births, and he's a reincarnation. The man is unhinged, and his followers are getting equally unhinged.
Just the second part of that besmirchment, though, I mean, it sends a pretty clear message, as you've spoken about before, Ed, saying to anyone else, hey, if you blow the whistle, if you speak to these impeachment proceedings, we will brand you a spy, a traitor, and there's a whole lot of people who's going to believe us over you.
Yeah, but that won't last for long, as we saw in the Nixon hearing. And I think that his ability to muzzle people have gone all the way. There's no way now. The people who are testifying against him, even if they're the most cynical, hostile person in the world, you're not going to say this person did the wrong thing. They took an oath to the flag and to the people of the United States. You can't call them traitors now.
And after all this, we've moved right off Syria following the ceasefire. What is going on in the region with the Kurds now?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, the Kurds are tougher fighters than the Turks really realize. The second thing is the Russians are realizing keeping the Turks around is not a bad idea. Surely they want to have influence there, but the Kurds have far more influence, and the Russians don't want to be caught in another Afghanistan with Syria. So the Russian military is saying, enough already. Let's let the Kurds stay in place. They're far enough away from the border now. Let's let them stay in place so we can fight another day and maintain the warm water port in Syria. That's all we came for. Let's not be dragged into another war.
And speaking of borders, you're pretty close to the DMZ there this week. Ed, no movement there, I hope.
Well, not that I know of. I think I'm going there tomorrow or the day after. So if you don't get another call, you'll know what's happened. The Trump people have me.
Back home in economic news, the Federal Reserve has cut interest rates again this week, hoping to keep the U.S. economy from going into a stall. With the impact of trade wars and the global slowdown, how long can they keep this up, Ed?
They can't. I think there is some good hope here, though. Actually, companies in the U.S. are doing pretty well. If the China deal is signed, and the Chinese are not going to do anything like they said, but at least there will be a pause in the current issues, you cannot stop falling economies. The Chinese economy is falling. The European economies are falling. The Australian economies are falling. You can't puff this balloon up much. There isn't not enough invention going on now. There aren't enough products and services being made. And employment, unemployment is rising. So this may hold out until the election. Maybe, but I even doubt that. And the Fed doesn't want to start cutting interest rates by very much, because that is the last tool we have. And, you know, the Australian Fed has cut interest rates down to the lowest ever. So there is not much room to go in that area.
And fires in California, not as severe as last year, I believe, but still thousands of acres wiped out.
Oh, no, they're more severe.
More severe.
In terms of size. In terms of the fire damage and the threat, and there are winds over 100 kilometers an hour that are whipping those flames. So I think they're going to leapfrog and burn out a lot of the Hollywood area. So they're more severe in the sense they're covering a much larger territory.
You've talked solutions in the past. I mean, what now?
Well, the problem is California, and I hate to use the term, is overpopulated. Where those fires are, when I was a young kid, there were no houses. People are building into zones, as we are in Australia, that create fire hazards. Nature takes its course. It's really necessary to have these fires every 20 years for nature to restore itself. So it doesn't take very much. It can be actually the things we do, such as having electric wires and things going through brush that hasn't been cut and setting it off, or the things we don't do by not having any clearing burning that we used to have in the past. And we can't do clearing burning because there are too many houses in the way. The natural hazards combined with climate change are making it impossible for us to do anything but retreat from certain areas. It's a hard thing to say, but I think sea levels and fires mean we have to retreat from some areas, and we cannot live in those areas anymore.
And just before we move on to a couple of international items, John Conyers, the longest-serving black member of the U.S. Congress, died this week at the age of 90. Very end of his career, marred by allegations of sexual harassment, which he denied vehemently, but forced him out. Ed, any thoughts as a black man who started in politics almost as long ago as Conyers?
Well, I knew John Conyers, a very deep man, a very thoughtful man. He helped me out a lot in New Orleans with the floods, promising all the aid he could bring to the problem. But he was troubled by the city of Detroit. He couldn't save a city that couldn't save itself. And I don't know anything about his personal life, but he talked to me a great deal about Detroit being an albatross around his neck. He tried everything with General Motors and the like, but it's very tough when you have a city that is no longer needed. Fortunately, as he reached his death, the city of Detroit was turned around, so I think he's going happily.
And as I say, internationally in Lebanon, what's going on? Prime Minister Saad Hariri has resigned, although protesters have described this as just an initial victory in a long-term battle.
Lebanon is in deep, deep trouble. It has been run by corrupt oligarchs for a very long time, and they've just taken too much. So the man on the street is not making any money. And you still have the warring factions. Remember the Green Line. Remember Hezbollah has territory there. So there are checkpoints all over the city, and those checkpoints have made it impossible for commerce to move. The city now is facing really deep economic transformations because these wars that in the Middle East are affecting Lebanon, and Lebanon's trading. So this country is not stable anymore. Its currency, which was really important to everybody in the Middle East and Africa, is in a tailspin. So there's not going to be any recovery there soon.
And of course, Brexit has brought yet another prime minister to their knees, delayed again officially until January 2020, with the UK going to the polls on December 12th. Any predictions for what has been a very, very unpredictable situation across the pond, Ed?
Can you imagine how dark it's going to be on December 12th in the Northern Hemisphere? And if there's snow and it's bleak and it's ugly, it's going to be a sad, sad day. They couldn't have chosen a better day to make a salute for England. And this will just be England, because Scotland's going to go its own way. Northern Ireland might go its own way. I think this vote is a vote for the final nail in the coffin of the UK. There will not be a United Kingdom after this vote.
Ed will be back with us from somewhere around this great big globe next week. If you enjoy what you hear on US of Ed, drop us a review on your favourite podcast outlet, share us on the socials, and you can track us down on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.